Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
To Radio Free Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. And I, like so many of you, are smoked. Just got done demobilizing from a deployment for the annual emergency communications training exercise nationwide, Operation Teotihuacan Readiness Exercise 2018, also known as T-Rex 2018. This was a scenario-based exercise. We've been talking about it for weeks, if not months, And it is behind us now with many, many lessons learned. As usual, we all, well, most of us grew from this and are better radio operators for it. So, let's see here. There's several things that this is going to be, you know, just a one segment show. I want to share some of the highlights from you, address a couple of things, and prepare you for next week's after action report, which we are going to be holding with Amron Corps. I'm going to be taking your feedback, but I want to ask for your input if you provided or if you participated in Operation T-Rex 2018, or if you attempted to participate, but mostly if you participated, because if you just attempted to and didn't actually, then, well, you might have some things to fix, possibly. The after action survey, if you would help us by taking the survey, and that is published at amron.com. Take the T-Rex 2018 after action survey to give us your feedback about the things you learned, things that went well, things that did not go well, so we can pass that experience on to others. Now, there is a, this was a very exciting exercise and very frustrating exercise because I think Murphy helps with the scheduling so that he's on duty when we do training exercises, but that just makes the training that much better. Now, we train regularly, and we train across the nation with radio operators that are committed to helping to inform others and to inform their communities so that they can be informed and inform others and help pass along message traffic to others to keep our fellow countrymen informed. Now, sometimes that happens and sometimes it does not. What we're dealing with is unconventional communications, communications that has really we've moved on from as a culture. Now we have high-speed internet, instantaneous information at our fingertips and cell phones and texting, and it's just so reliable. It's this amazing mesh of communications infrastructure, telecommunications infrastructure. It is an amazing thing, but we also know that it is a vulnerable thing. And in times when we faced natural disasters, hurricanes, earthquakes, floods, wildfires, that can easily be broken, leaving the citizens, your community and your state and even your region without any way of communicating, asking for help. So we practice that, and we do exercises throughout the year, and we do our biggest exercise is T-Rex 2018. This was a scenario-based exercise that for many of our Amron Corps operators who participated earlier this spring in a exercise called Operation Rabid Rudolph. And what this was a virus epidemic affecting animals, and it makes the jump from animals to humans. It's called Disease X, or virus X. And this scenario, T-Rex, is when it really just goes full-blown, full tilt. Throws our culture into a complete tailspin. So social unrest ensues, telecommunications deteriorates, and there we are dealing with a telecommunications and power grid down situation. Very exciting. So we're going to post some of the traffic, if not most of the traffic. I'm going to be conversing with the T-Rex 2018 planning team, which did an absolutely amazing job. I can't tell you how proud of them that I am. And the signals centers in North Carolina, Ohio, California, Virginia, and South Carolina. Please don't let me forget one. I believe I got them all. I can't tell you how amazing this was and chaotic. We had a couple of things happen. First of all, the band conditions are the worst that they've ever been. Finally, we've got some today. Finally, after what? Almost 21, 22 days with no sunspots, which are necessary for the aiding in the propagation of HF radio waves, electromagnetic energy, so that it bounces off the ionosphere, comes back down, and skips along the Earth's surface between the ionosphere and Earth, getting to its final destination. Well, without the solar activity acting like we need it to, it just simply absorbs and scatters into oblivion, and you can't hear the other stations, or you can hear that they're there, but you can't make it out. This was like the worst of the worst of conditions. We were in the bottom of a solar cycle, which will be here for probably another year or two, and then we'll start slowly climbing out of it. This is cyclical. This is how it works, and here we are. So we're training in the worst of conditions. So in the real world situation, as the atmospheric conditions improve for high-frequency radio communications, then that's just going to make us better operators. But this did not come without some frustration and a lot of very, very positive stories. And I want to focus on some of the concerns. And I want you to – the reason why I'm covering this part, the negative side of the battery right now – is because in a real world situation, that frustration, the emotions are going to run extremely high. This is nothing compared to what you would face if this were a real scenario. So we're going to have to get stronger and more resilient mentally, emotionally. And I know there were some frustrations. I want to talk about that. And we are going to take steps to mitigate that. So when you fill out your after action report, I want you to keep a few things in mind. First of all, that this is an opportunity for you to help contribute to making Amron better, okay? Because you're not going to go and join the other Amron because there isn't one. Now, there are some other Patriot networks and so on, but there's really nothing like Amron. And those of you who have been in Amron for a while, you understand that. You understand the value in that. So we want to make sure that we're just not going into whiny, complain, bitch and moan mode, but actually saying, here is a problem that I saw, which led to some frustration and the inability for me to pass communications. And I've been thinking about it, and I have a suggestion that might help us improve in this area. What we're asking for is constructive criticism to make us better. And I have a whole list of my own, things that I found completely unacceptable, things that should have been implemented from last year that were not implemented this year. And I take ownership of those things as well. This has been a chaotic personal, on a personal side of things, a very chaotic year for me. So this year is my year of recovery and rebuilding a new life. And part of that is giving Amron the attention that it deserves. And I thank you so much for those of you who have shared the same vision at the American Redoubt, Radio Free Redoubt, or you know, our vision. And the mission statement and the vision of Amron as it's become not just a nationwide network, but even with operators outside of the United States, is this patriot, conservative group of people see what's happening in our country. They see potential turmoil and unrest, and they see the need for the having the ability to be able to pass information in the future. Okay, let's get past that. We're already there, right? So we designed this exercise, and I did not have my hand in it as much as I had hoped, but the team did an amazing job. The failure points I see were training leading up to it and preparing for that, which there was some amazing training that took place, but it was very isolated. That central leadership figure was absent. That necessary guidance, leadership, the vision casting, making sure that things are pointed in the right direction, and that there's a proper level of training done for the widest number of people in the network, videos that I have outlined that I didn't get around to producing, guidance that I intended to produce, and things to prepare the individual operator. And so there are many, many areas that need a huge amount of improvement, and that is my action item this week, to begin laying that out and road mapping the path for bringing Amron back up to the level that it was and beyond, to make it stronger, more resilient, and more effective and efficient with the help of the many, many talented people that we have out there. So when you fill out your after action survey, I'm asking that if you step back and take a breath. We had lots and lots and lots of more positive than negative by far, but there were some negative comments. I wouldn't say negative, critical, but they're justifiable criticisms. And so what we want is to hear those. We want to hear, I was hoping that this would happen. I wanted to see that, or this didn't happen. And what can we do? I think we could fix this. We could use a different mode. We could use a different procedure. We could, whatever it is. And we're going through that. I'm already getting that kind of feedback. So that is very helpful. So remember, we're all on the same team here. We're all patriots. We're all Christians. Well, most of us are Christians. And we love America. And we understand that there's chaos and turmoil on the horizon. We want to get through that together so that we can begin rebuilding, and we want to keep ourselves and our heritage and the things that we value intact as we move forward with rebuilding. And in order to rebuild or survive it and then rebuild, we need to have command and control and communications and coordination and sharing of intelligence and so on. So that being said, there are several things that I wanted to address here. And I want to start with somebody was saying, you know, this is supposed to be a network to share information. And the little people out, you know, down on the ground aren't getting information because it was just the SIGSENs, the signal centers, sharing information back and forth and so on. I'm going to get to that more in depth next week, but I want to read something that was added to this email that was forwarded to me. It says the individual stations that had no traffic was never called upon, given any info, or just checked into a net. This T-Rex only counted for SIGSENs. In other words, they're claiming that this exercise, only the SIGSENs mattered. As this individual said, this person who made a comment on the air, we as individuals need the info to know what is coming at us so we can better protect our families, friends, and communities. I agree. I thought that T-Rex was to get information out to the individual members and operators and to support the local communities. We were left out. Okay. First of all, you were not left out. Well, if you were, we were all left out. There was an operator that deployed with the National Signals Center who last year participated in T-Rex. And he sat there and he waited for information and he got some messages and tried to pass some information messages along. And it was just kind of neat. But then he got to be behind the scenes at the Signals Center. So the point of having a signal center is to have, in this scenario, the scenario is that several of these operators have been requested by local leaders, maybe some officials, elected officials, saying, well, we need help. We're overwhelmed. We have no flow of information. Would you please, you know, help us? And or Ameron operators approach them, or they are approached and say, yes, we will deploy and we will put these group of operators together to help share all this information that's flowing. So it is a kind of a strategic level communications flow of information and intelligence. And then what the signal centers do is take the information coming from net control stations and individual operators, and they analyze this. They kind of consolidate all of the stuff that's flying around. They grab it out of the air and they put it together and make something that makes sense to give you a snapshot of what they're seeing. They're acting as a hub, and all of these other operators out there in the across your state or around the surrounding states, let's call it a region, and they are saying, hey, I just saw this happen. Oh, this happened over here. Oh, this thing's on fire. So these signal centers are taking in all of this information. Net control stations are helping to facilitate the flow of this information and pass along welfare traffic. The Joneses are asking about grandma over in your town. Is there somebody that can check on her? That's welfare traffic. And then there's intelligence reporting. I just saw this thing happen, or this nuclear plant over here is melting down and they're evacuating and the winds are heading south-southeast at 15 miles an hour. So warn those downstream, right? That's the flow of information. So what's happening is the signal centers have a lot of information to process. They're processing this information, and then they develop a summary of that, and they fire it back out there. Now, if it's immediate traffic or priority traffic, there's timelines, varying timelines, for how quickly they're supposed to get that information out there. Life and death, right now, emergency, it's immediate traffic. And so it takes precedence over even priority. So what they do is they send this these executive summaries out to the national SIGSEN, which is the hub for net control stations and other SIGSENs, to make sense of the big picture, put it all together, and provide a overall nationwide summary of the situation to redistribute throughout the nets. Now, theoretically, that's how it's supposed to work. But we are left with radio communications. And radio communications are dependent upon propagation and band conditions. And the band conditions are the worst that they've been, that I've ever seen them, especially during a training exercise. And usually they get bad right at a training exercise, adding realism and more chaos to the chaos. In this situation, this operator that I was telling you about that participated last year, but then this year deployed with a signals center, he said his eyes were completely opened as to what is happening behind the scenes. And I will tell you, when we get information, we will kick it back out to where it needs to go immediately if it's going to affect the community, if some emergency type of emergency communications traffic. The problem is there was attempt after attempt after attempt for hours of not hearing anybody on the air. The bands were completely just closed and crushed. We could identify a call sign, but we could not pass traffic to them. It was so badly broken many times that we could get only parts of a call sign, much less pass a message traffic about this. Let's say this nuclear power plant is melting down and there's radioactive particles in the air heading downstream. Warn everybody. Well, we're trying to warn as much as we can, and the bands were dead. I can tell you that we use many different tools. We have many different tools at our disposal. Just plain right out in the open text, voice. Voice was not even going to happen because of the band conditions. You have to use digital communications to get through. So plain text was just becoming so garbled, we had to send other modes that keep the text together, intact, and error-free. And there were times when we transmitted for hours and hours throughout the middle of the day. Then the bands open up for about 3 hours. And then it was chaos. The bands are open. Now I can finally reach this guy in Ohio. I can reach this guy in California. I got traffic to send to him and they got traffic to send to us. And it was just the floodgates opened. And it was a pretty chaotic scene behind the scenes, bringing in information, processing the information that was coming in, preparing the information that we had to forward on. And then on top of that, there was a contest this weekend, a RTTY, radio teletype contest. A group of ham operators, amateur radio operators across the country, have a, unbeknownst to anybody, a contest scheduled where they had completely covered the bands with traffic, trying to get their contesting traffic through. So this is what we're competing with. Not only that, we had a very narrow window of just a few hours of the bands being open enough to be able to actually pass traffic. And there was just simply no way to get all of the traffic passed. And we did. There were people out there in the masses, among the masses, who definitely did get messages about the situation, receive situation reports. So there's a lot to this. I just got unloaded. I just got unpacked. I grabbed a couple of emails. I looked at a couple of our traffic reports, and there was just the highest level of professionalism that I've seen on the air working with Amron operators. And then there was also some frustration with people trying to get traffic passed who just couldn't. Because of the band conditions. So that's just something we're going to have to realize is going to be there. But I want to pass along to you, because some great sit reps, but we asked the SIGSENS to report in to let us know that you're operational and how many operators you've got. Well, these guys in California went above and beyond. North Carolina did too. Well, actually they all did. But this is just the one that we got from California because the band conditions opened up just long enough for this report to come in. Signals Center California status report. They have a field deployed SIGSEN. Current manning, 3 operators plus 1 support person, down from 7 operators originally planned. Well, there's a lot of that too. Understaffed. Signal centers because life happening and there was medical emergencies and one thing after another. So we were all shorthanded in this exercise more than usual. Elevation, 6,610 feet, 120 miles east-northeast of San Francisco. 4 HF stations operational on 4080 NVIS, a G5RV antenna, buddy pole, and a butternut vertical. So they're explaining that this is very helpful to know what type of communications and antennas they have. It lets us know what their capabilities and their limitations are. Transceivers, IC7100, IC7300, a KX3, KL7405, and a FT891. They're using FL Digi on Windows 7, on a Mac, and an Android. Solar cap, 335 watts, combined plus 2 each 1600 watt generators. Vector to SIGSEN National, 686 miles on 0.5 degrees magnetic north. This is incredible. This is actually, I can learn from this as far as standardizing our reports to each other when we're reporting. also, they have real-world fires going on that they had to watch and observe in the event that they may have had to evacuate. We had one net control station report that he had to begin packing because of wildfires in Oregon, I believe. And so they talk about this fire that's burning, a Ferguson fire, real world. 30,493 acres, only 6% contained. Smoke is significant, resulting in approximate reduction of solar recharge capacity, 45%. So their smoke was so thick, they could not even recharge their batteries with the solar because they're only operating at 45%. Then they give the URL for going on the internet at fire.ca.gov and then fire maps, their general fire maps. Very helpful. the current status, operational with marginal effectiveness due to atmospheric propagation. Marginal is a very accurate term. Fading, interference, training time, shortage of experienced operators. Major problems, Android operating system ineffective when using FLAMP and FL message file manipulation. Mac operating system, garbage. What were they thinking? Amen. That's Mac operating systems and anything having to do with amateur radio, just don't mix. I know some people have worked some workarounds, but for the rest of us, it's just not cool. Messages received, approximately 24. Messages relayed, less than 10. Conducted 4 NCS sessions on VHF, 40 meters and 80 meters. VHF coverage into San Francisco Bay Area, extremely effective. Proved direct simplex digital link into SF Peninsula possible. Thank you for the opportunity to get us up here and prove our capability. 73, God bless. And that was from the director of SIGSEN, California. Now, there's more. I want to brag about North Carolina as well, because that they really set the standard. Unbelievable. The level of proficiency that they demonstrated leading up to the exercise, the level of organization. There's so much that we can learn from each other, and there's a lot to learn from the guys in at the North Carolina SIGSEN as well. And not to take anything away from any of the other SIGSENs who all have just top-notch operators who worked tirelessly to get traffic through. And I can tell you from my own personal experience of working for hours, switching over to mode from one band to one mode to another. I'll tell you what, one thing, the Sirius HF operators, PAC-DOR is the way to go. That is moving to the top of my list. We had a PAC-DOR station at the National SIGSEN, and that was getting through error-free when nothing else was. I was blown away. It's expensive. What, $1,200 to $1,500 for a PAC-DOR modem? I'm sold. I'm sold. I can't, there was so much traffic passed so fast while the band conditions were open. I was blown away. Trying to send it through, there's nothing that is as fast as PAC-DOR that I've ever seen that will allow you to pass traffic before the bands close again. You're literally dealing with an hour or two and sometimes minutes between the fading would wipe out your signal and you would lose it and you have to start all over again. Extremely frustrating. So here's the executive summary 01 from North Carolina. We got great summaries. I don't have time to get into all of them. I've got a lot of gear still to unpack, which is, of course, the whole week after T-Rex is packing, cleaning, organizing, reorganizing, accounting, repairing, and not to mention the avalanche of emails and correspondence that I'm going to be going through this week. And lots of meetings, follow-ups. So we can put together a good after-action report for you guys. But I want to share this. This executive summary came in. We've got a lot of training to do. There was not North Carolina SIGSEN, but some other operator initiated a report, a situation report, saying that power is about ready to go out at a hospital. People are going to die. The sheriff is asking for all the help that he can get. They're going to lose communications. And it was sent as routine traffic, which means get to it when you can. There's no rush. Everything else is going to take higher priority than my message. So yeah, it was just possibly a minor oversight. But really, that's not a dig on that operator. That is a hit on me for lack of providing proper training so that our operators have the highest level of training and guidance for a lot of this stuff. And even though there's a lot of great training that's taking place, we're not reaching enough people fast enough. And that really comes down to the central leadership position, and that's me. So I am making changes, rapid changes. with a lot of things. So, North Carolina Exum, the pandemic, conditions created by disease X are resulting in food shortages, utility outages, and localized civil unrest. Food supplies are becoming more scarce. Power plants are going offline due to staff shortages as well as cyber attacks. Remember, this is just one executive summary of a mountain of information that was extracted to make this summary. So there's a lot more details. And also, I didn't go into this happened on Friday afternoon. So this was the 21st at 1:30 in the morning Zulu time, which means it was still Friday afternoon, Friday evening. Early on in the game, they had already kicked out their first executive summary. Multiple Duke Energy power plant locations now offline due to cyber attack. Damage to turbines reported by Duke Energy employee. Large numbers of employees are sick with disease X and not showing up for work. Power plants could be offline for months awaiting new turbines and the labor to make repairs. Next item, violent clashes reported by local Patriot group in the eastern part of North Carolina. They didn't list a specific town. Individual reports that Moses Cone Hospital in Greensboro has set up tents in parking lot with medical personnel treating patients out of tents. Reports of disease X affecting domestic food supply in central Virginia with local citizens panicking and beginning to steal food from homes. Additional reports that Oath Keepers in central Virginia are gathered at a secure location with perimeter security. They are currently in a grid-down situation. Next, unconfirmed reports of brownouts and water sewer problems expected in Pasco County, South Carolina. The outlook. Conditions will continue to deteriorate over the next several days and possibly weeks as power outages and supply shortages spread to additional areas. Loss of life is expected to increase from disease X as well as violence and grid down conditions. Potential for additional cyber attacks is high. Oh, now we get cyber attacks thrown into the mix, really complicating things. All individuals should be on high alert with increased security put in place, especially at high value facilities. Travel should be avoided unless absolutely necessary to avoid violent situations as well as potential contact with infected individuals. That was Friday. Things deteriorated quickly from there. Ohio executive summary. We're running up on backup power here. One local operator who is assisting from their home reports violence at the stores in his area. And they're receiving formal message traffic. Received a report from my neighbor who works at the local hospital in Decatur, Texas. The local power is down due to high temperature grid collapse, and they are overloaded with patients. Backup power is unstable as they are running low on generator fuel. No further details. And that also was another similar situation that came out of Arizona, where the hospitals were grid down. They'd lost air conditioning. People are dying. And so they start moving to higher ground up into the mountains where it's cooler. And, of course, that's when chaos ensues there, when people begin clashing. We went from brownouts to rolling blackouts. So I'm not sure if that is bad or good. Haven't heard much out of the county other than what they send in to the TV station to report. Next news report out of Louisiana, Kentucky reports planned rolling blackouts to compensate for the cities along the East Coast needing power. Halfway through the report, my power went out. Up until now, most seems quiet. Let's see what happens now. In summary, it seems that the majority of the eastern and central U.S. is experiencing rolling blackouts and is without power at times. And early, this is also the executive summary one from Friday evening. And then things just continue to deteriorate from there. Very exciting to watch unfold. If you could get the message traffic, and believe you me, the operators across the country were frantically banging on their desks because they could not get their message traffic out to inform their communities or to inform their region as much as they were trying to. But a lot did. We received 20, I don't have that number in front of me, it was like 24 messages So there's what, 20 or 30 messages we did not even receive. There was probably, I would say, we sent about 20 pieces of traffic. I need to confirm that. I'm just I'm estimating. I believe we sent about 20 or 22 pieces of traffic, far fewer than we intended, simply because of band conditions. There was one operator that I connected with who said, I have 20 pieces of traffic for you, 20 messages. Said, okay, by time that we were ready to receive their traffic, the bands began to deteriorate, and we never got those messages. Now, that wasn't because there was not an operator that wasn't skilled or trained that knew where to go and what frequency to go to send it. It wasn't because we weren't willing to receive his music, his messages, or that we didn't want to receive them, or we didn't know what to do with them once we did receive them. And it's not like we had intentions of just sitting on it and not sending it out and saying phooey on everybody. The executive summaries were drafted up and sometimes shot out to just one or two stations in hopes that they would get that permeated throughout the rest of the network, knowing that the bands were deteriorating as they received that traffic. And so it was the worst of band conditions that you can imagine. Plus all of the QRM, the man-made interference from the contesting that dogpiled onto the bands once they did open. They were trying to make up for lost time. We're trying to make up for lost time. And it was just, it was chaos. It was beautiful chaos, because this is exactly what you could expect in a real world situation. So hang in there. Operators, we're going to address some of these. We're going to address as much of this as we can so that we can just keep getting better and better as we grow and as we go. One net control operator. Oh my gosh. He did so much heavy lifting. He had a beautiful station. Everything was dialed in right. And we couldn't always get traffic from him because the bands would fade. But then when he was there, he was like, so many of several of them, but this one in particular emails me directly. He's like, walks away from his radio. He says, I quit. I give up. Everyone's stepping on each other. No one listens to instructions from NCS. All they're concerned with is collecting messages, not passing them to their destination. They don't allow SIGSENS to give a FLAMP report first. They don't know the meaning of a directed net, or they don't care. I tried several times to direct them, and they refused to listen to the help. I'm done. Well, God bless you, brother. I'm glad you came back. I feel your pain. I felt that a couple of times when sometimes a message is intended to be sent from point A to point B. Like, I need to get this message to this sheriff because it has to do with help that he requested, or linking up with him so that we can get a radio operator set up at his emergency operations center because he's begging for help. Now we're trying to get this message to him, and people are breaking in going, what was that? I didn't get that whole message. Can you resend that, please? And it's not even for them. And the net control is trying to say, stop all traffic, all operators. This is directed traffic. Hold your traffic. This is only for N5ABC, who's trying to get it to N5XYZ. So everyone else, hold off. And then the person would start to send the traffic again, and then people would jump on saying, I didn't get all of that. Can you please resend it? And then so this is when people are throwing their hands in the air. But this is good training, all right? Stay strong. Stay encouraged. There was a lot of great, great things that happened. And it's been a long time since I've been able to talk to somebody who was just out there joining, participating in T-Rex, and then to hear what he had to say about working in a SIGSEN, watching these operators not sitting around picking their noses and playing cards. When the bands were down, there was some, you know, camaraderie building and people telling stories, and they keep monitoring the nets and checking for openings and keep beaconing, hoping somebody will hear them and come back, and they're monitoring and listening, but we also got to spend some time, really, some really cool bonding time with the guys and gals at the Signal Center. And then, of course, prepping information and organizing what we did have. So when the bands did open up, we were hitting the ground running. And he said it was just amazing watching all how hard everybody worked to get traffic passed. When one method wouldn't work, they tried another one. When another one wouldn't work, they tried another one. And until they get a message or part of it through. And then they get it through to a station, and then the bands go away. Meanwhile, there's people out there saying, you don't care about us. We sat there and we were trying to get information. I thought this was about sending information out to the people, and you only care about sending information between the two SIG sends, which isn't entirely true. And also there were some valid points too. When messages do need to go out to the masses, oftentimes plain text might just be the way to go because people don't have skills or experience or even the software to run, you know, compressed FLAMP files. For those of you who don't know what that means, then bear with me. It's just a mode. It's a tool that we have. It's a software program that we have on our laptops that aids us in getting messages from point A to point D, B or D, without being corrupted and broken up and garbled. Because if a doctor needs to make prescribe something and send, 320 milligrams of this certain medicine, you don't want it coming across as 3,200 milligrams of this something. Some things have to be absolutely correct. When you got somebody laying out bleeding with a compound fracture and they're calling for a medevac and you give them the grid coordinates, those grid coordinates have to be correct. There's no room for error. So we have just sending plain text so anybody can read it with minimal skills and minimal software could end up in somebody dying. So that's why we work very hard to use the most advanced tools that we can when accurate information must be passed from point A to point B. Lots of learning points here. Lots. I could go on and on. I could do 3 hours of this. I've got a stack of just awesome notes that I've made, my own log and journal and the feedback that's coming in. But what I want to leave you with is this. If you would, please. And then next Saturday, next Sunday, I've got 2 full shows. We're going to talk about several things that are going on related to our socio-political situation in our country, real world stuff. And there's just a lot. There's a lot to cover. So I'm going to be working on that as well as the AARs and just got a lot of stuff coming at you. So please join us next Saturday on KTW and all next Sunday night here at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. And we're going to overwhelm you with current events and analysis and even action items for you guys. Your action item right now, this is your homework assignment. Please go to take the after action survey with helping Amron improve in mind. Remember that we are friends and that we are on the same team and that we want to prevail together. And we want to hear what you have to say that you genuinely think would make us more effective and just better overall as an organization, as the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network. And I want to thank everybody out there who worked so hard, who took the time to pack up, to load up, to go grid down if you stayed at home, to get your communications up on the air, and who worked tirelessly, continuously to try to receive and pass information. And we'll address those fail points and look for solutions as well. If you're going to bring up a problem, also bring to us a solution to consider. And then we will grow. And we're going to be starting right away on T-Rex 2019. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to that. So we're probably about 4 to 6 weeks. We'll begin the planning for that exercise as well. But we're going to get through this. You guys have a blessed week. Get some rest. clean up your gear, inventory stuff, repair what needs to be repaired. Join us on our next training nets and be following Amron.com for a lot more information. After action reviews, training, and guidance to help prepare you so that we'll just be that much more effective. You guys have a blessed week. This is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too. Good night.